As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Of your Toronto Blue Jays and Major League Baseball. This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Joe, there are a lot of superstitious people out there.
Here we go.
Anyway. Mark Trumbo has 45 home runs this year.
Yeah.
Not a single one of them against the Toronto Blue Jays in 16 games.
Not a single one against the Toronto Blue Jays in 16 games.
I am not magic. 1-0 pitch, swung on and belted.
And there she goes.
That's hit a ton down the left field line. Hooking and gone.
Oops.
Oh, he's so happy right there, isn't he?
Yeah.
Come on.
Are you kidding me?
Mark Trumbo with his major league leading 46th home run of the season.
Oh, boy.
Cuts
way
the
to go, Mike. It's all your fault.
The Orioles down now 2-1. And I'll be giving out the Lotto 649 numbers later.
There you go. I'll tell you what,
I do have his number. I'm going to text him about that.
Yeah,
649
numbers. Between Barry Davis putting Joe Biagini in a two-week pitching funk by singing to him and Wilner jinxing the Blue Jays.
I am not magic.
It's been a great month for
That made me laugh.
It's been a great month for Sportsnet.
Yeah, way to go.
Media types jinxing the Blue Jays. Nicely done. It's Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. Look, we've got to have fun after what happened last night. Bullpen meltdown.
We're just kidding. Yeah, it's
That's
fine.
One thing we want.
We love Mike.
Blue Jays lost 3-2 to the Baltimore Orioles last night. Jason Grilli, not very good. Roberto Osuna, not very good. Two home runs. The Orioles win the game. Francisco Liriano, really, 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 really good.
Yeah.
Kevin Barker, the Jays, four games left. We think we're reasonably certain they're going to be a wild card team.
Ooh.
Don't know yet if they'll get to host the wild card game. There's a lot to talk about. And we also, I mentioned in my little tease that it's also, and we'll talk about this right out of the gate, it's also potentially the last chance to see Jose Bautista and Edwin in a Blue Jays jersey at home, because if the Jays don't make the playoffs, they're both eligible for free agency. And if the Jays don't make the playoffs, or if they make the wild card and it's a road game and they lose that, you're not going to see any, you may not see Edwin or Jose again. So let's talk about that first, because Kevin, I think it says a lot that, I mean, I admit it, I didn't think about this until this morning, because I've been focused on who they're going to play. They're going to make the playoffs. Who's going to start? What are they going to do? Who's going to be in the roster?
Yeah.
And it's like, I got up this morning and thought, God, could be the last game for Bautista and Eddie.
Yeah, it's
in
a little
Toronto
sad.
In a Jays uniform.
Well, you got to remember this. The Blue Jays as an organization are where they're at. A lot to do with those two guys.
Oh, 100%.
They've been the catalyst on the offensive side of the ball for quite some time for the Blue Jays. So they're one of the main reasons they're going to be missed. It's you can say what you want. It's hard to find guys that know how to play every day in the American League East and do it like those two guys have done it for a very long time. I know Bautista hasn't had the year that we thought he was going to have. Eddie had a better year. We couldn't expect him to have almost 130 RBIs and hit that many home runs and be the guy like he has. You know, they're going to be missed. If they don't come back, it might tell you that the organization's headed in a different direction. It's you look at their rotation, as good as it is. They think defense first, and they think some really good starting pitching. Maybe the American League East has changed a little bit. It's not always about hitting 200 home runs or 220 home runs a year and trying to home run your way through winning a title in the American League East.
Well, and here's the thing about Toronto. It usually ends poorly in this city. You could talk about Matt Sundin.
Mm-hmm.
You could talk about with the Blue Jays, Roy Halladay.
Yeah,
was traded. Carlos Delgado wasn't made a qualifying offer. Wasn't tendered a contract by the Blue Jays. He left as a free agent. It quite often doesn't end well in this city.
Yeah, I think
I'll say this about Jose Bautista and Edwin. Especially Edwin. it's rare. It's been my experience since I've been here since 2000. It's been my experience that it's very rare for players to not use up their best buy date in Toronto.
Yeah.
Eddie hasn't.
No.
Eddie would be welcomed back. They might hold a parade in the city if Eddie were to re-sign. Jose, I think things have changed a little bit with Jose Bautista as a result of this year.
Yeah, maybe.
I think the fan base is probably prepared to lose Jose Bautista.
Yeah, but I think I will say this about Bautista. I think he's eliminated half the buyers. I do really believe that. I don't think the way he plays defense, next year he'll be a year older. I think he's eliminated the National League. So the chances of Bautista coming back, I would think, to the Blue Jays are better than seeing Eddie back. I think Eddie's outpriced himself now. He's out. I think the price will be too high.
Well, and I think Eddie's
also... He's going to want a lot of money, he should.
Yeah, and I think Eddie's also showing people, Kevin, that he can play first base.
100%. But I said this before. I played with Edwin for a long time. I've known him a very long time. The two go hand in hand more than other players, meaning when he's hitting the way he is, he plays great defense. When he's not hitting, he's more thinking about how to get hits, and the defense sometimes suffers. So the two go hand in hand, and most baseball players are like that. You make your money, most people do, by hitting. Mm-hmm. Whether you like to hear it or not, it's not defensive-oriented first, and the two really go hand in hand. And Eddie's had they're not where they're at if Eddie doesn't have the year he's having.
No, and this also has to be said about Edwin and Jose. And I hope when we talk about it, people keep this in mind. And even if you're not a big – I can't imagine there isn't anybody out there who isn't an Eddie fan.
Yeah.
But even if you're one of those people, if you're a lapsed Jose Bautista fan and you're sort of in that camp where, he goes. Everything you are seeing with this team right now goes back, all the good things, get back to the fact that Jose Bautista and Edwin both made long-term commitments to this team, both of them turned down the chance to be free agents in order to sign long-term contracts mm-hmm. with the Blue Jays. It was a leap of faith, certainly, on the part of the Blue Jays. But it was also a bit of a leap of faith on the part of the players, especially Jose Bautista at the time. Now, Jose Bautista has been undervalued. He's been earning less than what he should earn for the past 5 years. He should have been, he signed the contract.
Right.
That's fine. He's been underpaid. Edwin has been underpaid for the past couple of years. And again, as a result of the contracts they have. Mm-hmm. So nobody, if this is the final game, nobody should have anything but positive thoughts about these guys. Because when they re-signed here, that was a sign to a lot of players in baseball. That was a sign to a lot of people in baseball that the Jays were getting serious. More importantly, it was a sign to a lot of players, Kevin, that Toronto was a place you could come and resurrect your career. Because both of those guys did it.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what they were. Nobody expected much from them. Both of them came to Toronto. Both of them resurrected their careers. That has to count for something. And they, more than anybody else, more than Josh Donaldson, more than anybody else, Alex Anthopoulos, more than anybody else in this organization, Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion turned this team into must-see TV.
Yep.
They turned this team into the type of team that's capable of packing the Rogers Center. Yep. Those two players get 80% of the credit.
Well, the bat flip will live forever, right?
Yes.
So, you'll never forget those two guys.
So, I don't want Baseball Central to be down, but we got to talk about it because it's could very well be their final game.
Yeah.
Could very well be their final game.
Maybe they'll hit three home runs apiece.
Well, it would help because my sense is...
That's not going
to
hurt.
Well, right? My sense is, Kevin, the Jays are probably going to need at least 12 home runs to win tonight.
You would think so when they're 15th in the AL and runs scored in September with 97. That's tied with Minnesota. They're 13 in hits in the AL. They're 13th in OPS in the AL. They're first in walks, so they're walking a lot, which I'm not real sure that matters. And they're seventh. They have the seventh most strikeouts in September in the American League.
They've been a mess offensively.
You got to score runs. Yeah, they're just not And then after last night, they got the third most losses in baseball out of the bullpen with 31.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good either.
They've torched three of their – they've had, what, blown saves? Three of their last four games have been in the ninth inning.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to – I think some weaknesses are showing up with when you're facing good teams that you have to make perfect pitches all the time too. And Baltimore's one of those teams that you have to make really good pitches early in counts to set them up and expand zones and get them swinging happy, and they're wanting to carry the team. Because 1 through 9 in that lineup on Baltimore's side for some time or the other can carry a team. And when you start throwing a lot of strikes and you get them swinging and they fall behind and they expand the zone, that's how you get them out. And it's contagious 1 through that lineup, and you can see that. But when you fall behind and you make it easier for one of their guys, like a Trumbo, and Grilly fell behind with the breaking ball, and then he elevates the fastball. When's the last time you see Trumbo hit a fastball up? Never.
Never,
so no. Unless, you know, basically Grilly's got two pitches. That's a breaking ball, fastball, and a little bit of surprise always helps. So when he throws strike one with the breaking ball, a hitter steps out and goes, hey, what's the chances of me getting breaking ball? 50%. What's the chances of me getting a fastball? 50%. But if he throws ball one, now basically I can say chances with, you know, a 2-0 lead, I'm probably going to get a fastball here. He doesn't want to walk me. So I'm going to look fastball. I'm going to sell out for it. I get it. 93, you can say what you want. It's good hitting in the big leagues. It's not 97, 98. It's 93.
All right, let's take a look at last night's the way the Jays lost the game last night. Jason Grilly gives up that home run to Trumbo.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jason Grilly, I think it's strange. Ben Nicholson-Smith has an article up on Sportsnet.ca. You know, his velocity in Roberto Osuna's velocity. There's nothing wrong with the velocity right now. I mean, it's where it's been.
It's when it hurts them.
Grilly, though, to me, let's leave Grilly aside for a minute, because I'm more concerned about Roberto Osuna. There's a couple of things. You know, the fact that, and I don't mind that the pitcher and a catcher have to have a meeting or all that, but there's something not right in that on-field relationship. It seems as if both he and Russ Martin, and typically you can lay this at the foot of the pitcher a lot of times, seems to be some second guessing going. I don't know what it is, but they shouldn't at this stage of the year, Kevin. I don't want my closer talking to. They shouldn't have a conversation at this stage.
Yeah,
of the year,
I'm going to say this. Usually, most closers got two pitches, right? Some kind of fastball really hard and some kind of hard secondary pitch, whether it's slider, breaking ball, changeup, something. When you're trying to invent ways to work around not throwing your best two pitches, and that's what it looks to me like Osuna's doing, the fastball command's not there. It's just he can't locate. Normally when he's really good, it's strike one at 98 on the black away, strike one, and then you're getting hitters stepping out and going, uh-oh, that's 98 on the black. I got to get it going. And then he doesn't have to throw secondary pitches for strikes because they have to cheat to hit the fastball. They're not doing that now because of strike one. And now it seems to me like when it's 96, it's not coming out of his hand like it used to be. It's not has the late giddy up, the late life to it. Hitters are, you know, when hitters can, at this level, can basically eliminate one of your best pitches and look for a pitch that you're not, doesn't look like it used to look. Now, let's remember, there's a lot of book out on Osuna now.
Yes.
The American League East is getting it.
They got two years' worth of book on him.
Now that this is what he's trying to do. He's trying to get ahead of you, and when he doesn't, what do you do? Now you can eliminate one of them. And that's when you can eliminate one of them. It's like, really.
Well,
when
Pete Walker told us yesterday, too. They're trying to work in a changeup.
Yeah, you're inventing ways to get guys out. Yeah. When you throw 98, which he's not doing right now, so it's 96, you got to locate more. And when you're not locating, you invent ways. And that's why you see the, I'm shaking off. I don't want that because I don't trust my fastball. I don't want that because I don't trust my breaking ball. And now I'm flipping it to a cutter or a changeup. That's not his best two pitches. Mm-hmm. So, it's you can say what you want about the shaking off. And I played first base a lot in my career. And when I saw pitchers shaking off, I used to call time, walked over to the guy and said, hey, what's up? Mm-hmm. How you doing? Just to get him thinking about something other than shaking off to the guy. I'm not saying that's what people are doing, but I'm saying when you see a pitcher shaking off that much, there's something going on in there. And it's bad when they think. It's bad when I'm telling you, I played 16 seasons. When I thought, I was bad.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is. Because it's basically see ball, hit ball. It's basically get the sign, see the target, throw it to the target. Let's not think about where we're throwing it to the target and what kind of pitch and how much movement we want on it. It's too much thinking going on.
John Gibbons has used Roberto Osuna a lot in non-save situations. I think we need to – there needs to be a little bit of a history lesson here. Because at the start of the year, this bullpen was a mess. At the start of the year, John Gibbons was looking for answers.
Yeah.
And the one thing, pardon me, the one thing he knew about the bullpen was that Roberto Osuna was lights out. He was locked down. So a lot of times, John Gibbons had no choice but to go to Roberto Osuna. Now, we may be seeing some signs now in the last week of maybe a couple of those extra outings that, you know, Roberto Osuna normally wouldn't have had. We may be seeing those signs now.
Yeah, Dan Shulman. I heard Dan Shulman on your show when he said it's not about mile per hour sometimes, about location.
Yes.
Well, maybe that's what you're seeing with Osuna. He's raring back
and
throw as hard as he can.
But poor location.
He's missing location.
Poor location could be a sign of being tired.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's not always about how, you know, you look up and he's throwing 94.
Right.
No, he's humping up trying to throw it as hard as he can. And when you hump up, what do? You miss location. So it could be numerous things here, but I'm saying it could be his age. It could be the moment. It could be he's had the moment since day one.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in this since – you got to remember that. There's a lot of pressure on a kid. He's a kid.
Yep.
I mean, let's say it the way it is. He's a kid being thrown in. Now, his stuff's off the charts, and it's been off the charts, and we're spoiled seeing it. And now we're seeing this, and he's missing spots, and, you know, guys are coming up hitting home runs that shouldn't be hitting home runs. Well – this to me is, I'm going to say this now. You're a hitting team. Start hitting. You got, four games?
Yeah.
Well, take the pressure off some other people and mainly your manager, because your manager's trying to invent ways now.
Yeah.
Whether you think that Gibby's taking guys out too soon, whatever, we don't know the whole story. You have to sometimes just say it is what it is. Score more runs.
Yeah.
15th in the American League and score runs scored in September. Come on.
You know what? I think these guys have been getting a free pass in a lot of places.
Yeah, they have, but not on this show anymore.
No, but I mean, we dump in the bullpen all the time. For a while, we were dumping in the starting pitching. But, you know, by and large, because I think we've always had in the back of our mind that this is a good lineup, this is a good lineup, this is a good lineup, this is a good lineup. It's eventually going to happen. Well, guess what? It's September 29th, and it hasn't happened
yet. Yeah, I'm going to just read a couple of stats off. And normally, I don't do this, but this is – sometimes you can't always – beat up things that have been good all season, like Osuna, without looking at other things. Josh Donaldson, September's hitting .227 with an OPS of .837. Obviously, Josh Donaldson's a different animal because he gets pitched different. So you can sort of overlook that. Russell Martin's hitting .164 with an OPS of .661. Michael Saunders, basically your only left-hander in the lineup that plays every day with a lot of home runs in September. Hitting .159 with an on-base percentage of .221, a slugging percentage of .238, an OPS of .459 and 63 at bats. Now, when you're facing a guy tonight with Jimenez, it's had six pretty good starts. What's he in? Let's see on my stats. Did all my homework here. In the last six games, he's 4-2. He's given up 27 hits in 41 innings. That's 13 earned runs. He struck out 33 guys and walked 10 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Batting average against is .186. Right-handed batters are hitting .193 with a slugging percentage of .299. Left-handed batters are hitting .172. He's pitching pretty good is my point here.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to have some guys.
In the past, though, he's been good hitting.
In six games. Well, he has. But the last six games, he's figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think some guys are going to have to come out and score some runs, have better at bats, start driving the baseball. Okay? Let's stop trying to go inside out here and hit the ball to the left field. No, that's not what you're here for. Okay? It's now you have to get a pitch up, elevated early in the count, and try and drive a baseball to the big part of the field. When you do that, you know what you do? You get pitchers to hang breaking balls.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start getting three-run home runs, which is what the Blue Jays do a lot of. That's when they win games. Well, some of these guys are going to have to start doing that. I know there's four games left, but we can say their bullpen's not very good right now.
Well, no, as Dan Shulman pointed out, there were chances in this game. There were chances. Now, Ezekiel Carrera gets caught stealing when he overslides the bag,
that's effort. It's hard to argue effort.
No, and it's fluke. And he had the bag stolen.
It is. It's hard to argue.
To me, I don't even, that's fluke.
Batista base running in the sixth, standing out. Come on.
I almost threw.
Let's go.
I'll tell you what. I about threw my laptop over the press box.
There's no excuse for it. Period.
Yeah.
Well, so we move on with that. We don't talk about that no more.
Melvin Upton Jr. I mean, I know he got that was not the greatest umpiring.
It looked like it was right down the middle. It was a late call, obviously, but the pitch right down the middle. And you missed two fastballs early in counts.
And I was going to say,
right down the middle.
The bottom line is you're a pinch hitter, bases loaded. You can't take.
100%.
You can't take.
I'm saying better at bats here. With four games, you hate to come on here and say this and that, and their bullpen's not any good. Well, they're in the bullpen for a reason. And Roberto sent them with you. We've been spoiled for 2 years. He's due for a hiccup.
Yeah.
And let's face it, the American League East, the book's out. His breaking ball's that good because his fastball's electric. So you know what you do when you're a hitter? Eliminate one of them because you can't hit one of them. So I'm going to just look for one of them, and when I get it, I can't miss it. That's what you're seeing a little bit of with Osuna now.
That would explain the inability to finish guys off.
100%.
That's been the biggest issue.
I can't hit it, why try and swing at it? So eliminate. If he throws me three hooks for strikes,
tip your
hat, walk away, and say, you're pretty good, kid.
Yeah.
But if he throws me a fastball middle of the way and up, and I don't put it and play hard, that's a shame on me.
All right, so we know tonight that Roberto Osuna won't be available. He's pitched four of the last five. He won't be available. Jason Grilly, I guess. Brett Cecil, you know, we've got the sort of the odds and ends, the Ryan Taparas, the Bo Schultzes, the Scott Feldman, Arms. Who, I don't know, Scott Feldman, we may need to
see. He would have to be hurt, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you would think there's something up there because I can't imagine that he hasn't been tapped into at least a little bit.
And one thing before you say that, I will say whenever I see to Saunders,
yes.
And I know I was a little hard on Saunders, he does look hurt to me. Whenever he takes swings and he's shaking his wrist, his bottom hand, like he's done something to his wrist. Now, obviously, they're not going to come out and say anything, but he might be a little hurt too. So,
right.
I hate to come on here and throw out these numbers, which
fair.
They are bad, but when he does take a swing like he takes and he's shaking his wrist like he's hurt, I'm sure everybody's hurt this time of the year, but some guy's going to have to step up.
Yeah, and it's important, and I've
so
said
sorry
this.
To interrupt you.
No, that's fine.
I just thought of that.
It's good you did because the thing to always keep in mind when we talk about this.
Played a lot of games.
And we don't know the physical condition of everybody.
And they played a lot of close games.
We just don't know. So you've got to keep that in mind. You know, we saw it again last night. Josh Donaldson appeared to hurt his hip running to first base. So keep that in mind. And I'm glad you mentioned that.
So sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
let's go on. So we know the bullpen's a problem spot right now. You don't have Roberto Osuna tonight. I mean, I think if you do have Joe Biagini, you should have Brett Cecil. Now,
Stroman John does 130 Gibbons, pitches.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, this might be a time for your first complete game of the year.
What's the limit on Stroman that pitch-wise? That would be the first question I would ask reporters that sticks a microphone in Gibby's face, if Gibby's listening, because sometimes he does.
He does.
Because he makes fun of my lineup changes.
And he makes, as he said, you embarrass the South on a daily basis.
Well, hey, somebody's got to. Might as well be me.
And I defended you, by the way.
I appreciate that. But thanks for listening, Gibby. You know, if you don't like it, sometimes you just come on there and set a guy straight. That's all I'm saying. What would be the pitch count? Is it 100 pitches? Is it 120? Is it 130? Does that matter? I'm going to say this.
I think the pitch count's Friday. Basically.
So there you go. The answer to all your questions are you ride what got you here.
Yeah.
And we know what got you here, starting pitching.
Yeah, the pitch count tonight is your arm. Can you feel your arm? Okay, you're going back.
I'm gonna ask you a question. Do you go to a bullpen guy with a 2-1 lead in the eighth inning? Do you turn it over to anybody
not
in
tonight.
That pen?
Not tonight.
When Stroman would have 110 pitches starting the eighth inning, not me.
Tonight. Not tonight. Tonight I'm riding Marcus Stroman all the way to the end. I'm taking milk and every last drop out of it. Because you know what? If you do go to the wild card and you do end up going on to the division series, he's got plenty of time to rest up. So I'm
score more runs.
Well, that would be the best thing. But I wanted to ask you this. John Gibbons has said on and off the record, and he said this to me a couple of times, and he said it on the record as well. But he's professed confidence in Brett Cecil.
I don't see that.
Well,
last night might have been the first time I saw it because who did he pitch to? He pitched to the two righties in the seventh and the eighth inning, and he pitched to the lefty in the eighth inning. But
and he was up a couple of times the night before.
Yeah, Rymel and Jones he pitched to.
And didn't get in the game. Now, Brett Cecil has not, shall we say, he hasn't been money this year in high leverage situations a lot of the time. But it strikes me, Zach, because one thing I know about John Gibbons, the same John Gibbons that likes Ezekiel Carrera because he's been there, done it for me, been my guy, I would think he'd feel the same way about Brett Cecil, because up to that Achilles injury last year, or that calf injury last year, Brett Cecil was pretty damn good. He's one of the best relievers in baseball.
That's 2015. I'm just saying, I think it's getting down to the point with the way Grilly and Asuna are pitching. Now, they don't have a choice. what other choice do you have?
Brett Cecil close for you tonight if you need it?
Yeah. Why not? What are the,
Joe Biagini?
What's your other choice? Maybe. I'm not. The eighth inning's different than the ninth inning.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
It just, the guys have different at bats in the ninth inning. I just do.
So let me ask you this. We're on the same page. You want Marcus Stroman in the game as long as you possibly can tonight.
You would.
When Marcus Stroman and whoever catches him tonight, if it's DeAndre Navarro or Russ Martin, whoever's in the lineup.
Might be nice to have Navarro because he's left-handed.
Exactly.
Hitting.
Whoever's in the lineup, when they sit down and go over Baltimore's lineup, because you know you want Marcus Stroman in the game as long as you can, does that change how you go after the Orioles? I mean, essentially what I'm saying is you want more quick resolution at bats.
Yeah, well, he's a ground ball pitcher, right? And we, Pete Walker was on here and was saying the reason why Sanchez is, he had the 10 strikeouts. Well, that's all fine and dandy, but it's 10 strikeouts in six innings.
Yeah, it's a lot of extra pitches.
There you go. So, yeah, you want to maybe you throw more sinkers instead of more breaking balls, mm-hmm. things of that nature. You might want balls on the ground first couple pitches early in the game instead of trying to punch people out. Now, obviously, there's going to be times where you need a strikeout. Guys in scoring position, less than two outs, you got to get after somebody and give them your best stuff. But early in the game, established sinker, you're going with things on the ground, efficient innings, 8, 10, 12 pitch innings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, might be nice.
If this team gets to the playoffs, do you put Marcus Stroman in the bullpen?
I think it depends on who they play.
It comes down to him or Liriano, and yeah, I think you're right.
I think it's Boston and you're going to Fenway Park, Liriano's in the pen for me. Stroman's starting because of the ground ball stuff, and you're trying to stay away from the short porch and left.
Right.
Okay. It's all about who's pitching, and I think Liriano can strike more people out in the pen. That's what it's about, right? It's about getting real nasty, real quick.
See, I find that odd
out of the pen.
We were talking.
Stroman, I don't know if he can do that.
I find that odd because we've talked about how Francisco Liriano has had
control troubles. I know strike one is an issue, but if he can throw strike one, mm-hmm. and he's doing that a lot with the changeup, which has been a big pitch. That's a big add to him, and that's kudos to Pete Walker, adding that mm-hmm. and staying over the mound and being more compact and not falling off the one side and throwing towards your target and falling towards your target, yada, yada, yada. But that is what the changeup has added, strike one. He can do that out of the pen and then expand with 96 short arm left-handed and then that devastating slider. Yeah, that's punch-out stuff. That's getting real nasty real quick.
Well, as you heard my friend Kevin Barker say, Ubaldo Jimenez, who in the past I've looked at Ubaldo Jimenez and gone, oh, boy.
Me too. But I had to look the stats up.
But that has not been the case.
Yeah, me too.
In September. Mike Bordick is a Baltimore Orioles TV analyst. That's one of the questions we're going to ask Mike Bordick. What's up with Ubaldo Jimenez? When did he become good? I know that's blunt, but I think that's what we want to ask him. Mike Bordick will join us when Baseball Central continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
A podcast that casts a wide net across the internet of sports. The Andrew Walker Show. Subscribe in iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590, The Fan. On demand. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
9구째입니다. 3-2 풀카운트입니다. 연속 경기 홈런이 되는 거죠.
와, 기적이 나오는군요. 자, 김현수가 경기를 뒤집어 놨습니다. 역전 투런 홈런.
네, 정말 멋진 장면 나왔습니다. 김현수 선수.
That was the Korean version of our broadcast, which is available on podcast. I'm going to apologize in advance. Barker's Korean slipped up a little bit on a couple of the verbs.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That was the call of the game-deciding home run last night in Korean. You were going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to tell you to read those stats.
Oh, well, because we talked about possibly putting Marcus Stroman in the bullpen, and Kevin said, well, you know, a lot, the decision between Liriano and Stroman is going to come down to who's facing who. Marcus Stroman this year, these are his numbers against the Boston Red Sox. Let me just check to make sure this is this year and not his career. No, it's this
now
year.
Now, you got to remember, we're talking about the fourth starter.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Not the top three.
These
the
are his numbers
starter.
This year against the Boston Red Sox, if they were to face the Red Sox. Three games, 16 and a third innings, 26 hits, 18 earned runs, 13 strikeouts, 9 walks, 2 home runs.
Yeah, it's not very good, but no. Playoffs are different. That's, you know, it's...
Yes, they are.
And again, you're talking about the fourth guy. That's it's fun to have. It's fun,
right,
it's fun to have the conversation and all that, but,
right, but what I'm
who
saying...
Who gives you a better chance?
Yeah, and that's, I'm saying that you would probably have to take those numbers into account.
I'm sure it's would be a conversation.
I see your point. He's a ground ball pitcher.
Hey, I'm not saying Liriano's not good either.
No, I see your point. He's a ground ball pitcher. I totally
I'll say this. The first three guys need to win. How's that?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
How's that sound?
Way to go, Captain Obvious. Nice job. I've been waiting
to
call
you. You're never Captain Obvious
on
this show, are you?
No, I'm always Captain
Obvious. Who's going to win the World Series? Oh, the Cubs. Yeah, that's who you picked?
And who did you pick?
Not the Cubs.
No.
Because it's too easy. That's an easy pick.
And who did I pick for American League Cy Young?
Chris Archer. How'd that work out?
There you go. It didn't.
Who did I pick? I don't remember. Doesn't matter, does it?
Probably Jeff Samardzija. Oh, wait, that's the other league.
No.
The Jays and Orioles will wrap up their three-game series tonight at the Rogers Center, the final regular season home game of the 2016 season. Maybe not the final home game if the Blue Jays can solidify the first wild card spot. Tonight they will face Ubaldo Jimenez. Now, there was a time where you'd see Ubaldo Jimenez coming and, you know, there'd be guys...
Bat racks.
There'd be guys already lining up at the bat rack at the Rogers Center. Not the case, though. He's been pretty good recently. Mike Bordick is the Orioles TV analyst, and Mike Bordick joins us on Baseball Central. Mike, thanks a lot. Thank you very much for doing this. Thank you for joining Kevin Barker and myself. What explains... I'm not going to say the new Ubaldo Jimenez, but what explains what we're seeing from him now compared to what we were seeing earlier in the year?
Well, thanks for having me on the show. Mm-hmm. I don't know, divine intervention maybe? I'm not sure. I want to say Ubaldo was relegated to the bullpen because of obviously lack of the ability to shut down other teams. His earned run average was up around 8. When he was sent down to the bullpen, and he wasn't even being used out of the pen. He got a start a month and a half ago when Chris Tillman went on the disabled list, and it was just kind of a cross your fingers and hope situation that Ubaldo can get through enough innings to save the bullpen. And Ubaldo ended up throwing a gem and earned himself another start, and he really hasn't looked back. So I think it's a confidence thing. He feels good. He feels like he's contributing right now. He feels good about the command of all of his pitches. And really, that's the key for Ubaldo. When he can command his fastball, especially, helps his slider and his split finger obviously play up. And right now, he has command of all the pitches, and he's throwing them at any time. And it's been really impressive, and it's exactly what the Orioles needed at just the right time, a starter to really – step up, and he's been doing that.
Yeah, now, last night I got to watch Zach Britton pitch again, and I guess when you say so good that you have no chance, I guess that's about as close as it comes. And I was talking to some people that are around him a lot, and they seem to think when you face him, the thought process is just go up, not swing at it. Because, you know, when you think of guys that have more than one pitch, well, you eliminate one of them because you can't hit it. Well, that sinker at 97, 98 miles an hour, you can't hit it anyway. So why don't guys just go up, not swing at it? How's that approach?
Obviously easier said than
Yeah, it is, of course.
But the trick is to try to somehow get it above the belt.
Yeah.
Because that's the only time you're going to hit the Zach Britton fastball, because it flattens out like everybody's pitch. But when he gets on top of his fastball and he throws it at the knees, it's almost impossible to get underneath that baseball for as quickly and as late that it drops and moves away from a right-handed hitter. It's the most devastating pitch I've seen, really. It reminds me of maybe Roger Clemens' split finger when he was throwing it like 92 miles an hour. Just disappears. And, yeah, the only chance really take until he makes a mistake up around your chest.
Mike, what are you seeing from Chris Davis? You know, we're used to him coming into this ballpark in particular and having a fair amount of success. And so far this series, he's got what? He's got five strikeouts. He's hit into a double play. He's drawn a walk, and it was kind of an intentional walk from Aaron Sanchez. What are you seeing from Chris Davis or not seeing from Chris Davis?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He's had an exceptional year defensively. Mm-hmm. And really should be considered for the Gold Glove. So he's been a huge contributor in that regard. Of course, the power is always there. And, you know, he strikes out a lot. Everybody knew that kind of coming in to the big Chris Davis deal. So it's a matter of hoping that you catch him at the right time. And right now he's swinging and missing, but he got on a nice little roll where he's backing the baseball up, letting it travel, hitting it to left field. He's had more opposite field home runs here over the last month, so that's a good sign. But he's just had some inconsistencies, but a typical ball game seems to be home run, walk, and a strikeout for Chris Davis.
Yeah.
Because he's got a high on-base percentage, and he's always a threat to go deep, and I think he's just perfect in the middle of this lineup.
Yeah, now the offense for the Orioles really does go through Manny Machado. Yeah, last night he was 0-for-4 with a couple of strikeouts. It just looks like when teams get Manny Machado out, they can get everybody else out around him. You know, Trumbo hits the home run on a bad pitch, but up until that point, the Blue Jays, you know, they'll take those soft singles to right from Trumbo. With all the home runs, they'll take that. The reason why they can pitch to Trumbo the way they are is because they're getting Manny Machado out. That's the way it is, right? Any team that comes in, that's the first guy you want to get out. It's Machado.
Well, he's definitely been the Orioles' best player. He was just voted the Oriole MVP. And offensively, he's had such a consistent year. He's been their most dangerous hitter. He has power to all fields. Very rarely have we seen him off balance. And right now, yeah, the Blue Jays have his number, but our lineup is very comparable to your lineup, mm-hmm. and vice versa, because there's just danger all the way through. I don't know how you can pitch to Mark Trumbo, and if you do pitch to him, it shouldn't be – everything should be on the outside corner and off the plate, because if it's on the plate, if it's on the inner third, it's going to get covered. He's just really good in there. So he waits for mistakes and he takes advantage of them. But there's, you know, power all the way through. I wouldn't say that our offense, you know, lives and dies by Manny Machado. I just think if he is productive at the top, it certainly makes our offense, you know, one of the more potent offenses in the game.
Mike, we appreciate you doing this. Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Mike.
Mike Bordick, Baltimore Orioles TV analyst. Now the guy could play the hell out of shortstop. Mm-hmm. He's a good defensive player. Again, the third game of the three-game series between the Orioles and Jays. Last home regular season game for the Jays goes tonight at the Rogers Center. Let's take a quick jaunt around Major League Baseball. Congratulations to our friends in Boston. John Farrell, the Boston Red Sox,
Somehow I don't think you mean
champagne.
That.
I do.
Mark Teixeira hitting the walk-off granny, too.
Tremendous.
It was awesome, right?
Yeah, it was.
I liked watching it.
I did, too.
It made it. It was happier for me who he did it against, too. It sort of took the wind out of the winning the American League East when you win it like that, and you come out and you take Kimbrel out, and you know John Farrell and Kimbrel wasn't having the best of conversations on the mound, and then you walk it off like that's maybe the Red Sox are backing into the playoffs a little.
Let me ask you something.
Maybe.
Let me make your day. You know, of course, that Mark Shapiro and John Farrell are tight. They work together.
Okay.
You know that there's been a lot of rumors all year that John Farrell's job is in jeopardy in Boston. I don't know how you get rid of a guy that's won the division. You don't think? Nah, there's no way it would happen.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Throwing it out there,
aren't you?
John Farrell come back. I mean, John Gibbons came back to Toronto. Why couldn't John Farrell come back? I'm just kidding. Anyhow, congratulations to the Red Sox, worthy winners of the American League East title.
Well, you know, somebody had to win it.
Yes. And gosh darn it, it's good to see all those happy Red Sox fans. It really
How about this? The best team in the American League East won it.
Yes, they did.
There you go.
Yes, they did.
Much as people don't like to hear that are Blue Jays fans.
No, they did. They are the best team in the American League East. The Detroit Tigers beat Cleveland 6-5 in a 5-inning game. Miguel Cabrera.
He's pretty good.
My God, he's a good player. A tie-breaking 3-run home run.
It's crazy.
Houston Astros, 3-run homer from Robinson Cano. They hammer the Seattle Mariners, 3-run home run from Robinson Cano.
36 homers, that's a lot.
They hammer the Astros 12-4. The Mets gain more space in the National League wildcard race. Brucey. They beat the Marlins 5-2. Jay Bruce and James Loney.
About doing it.
The Cardinals, Anthony DeSclafani beats them 2-1. The Giants lost 2-0 to the Rockies.
Of course they did.
And I know you want to mention this, Freddie Freeman of the Braves, who's Canadian, by the way. Extended his hitting streak to 30 games.
When have you ever seen a swing like that? With a guy that can hit like that?
Great
never.
Swing.
It's not a great swing.
No, but I mean, it's an effect. It's ugly, but it's effective.
You wouldn't go if you're a hitting instructor and go and throw his swing up on the screen and say, hit just like that.
But it works.
It's short. There's no finish to it. It's basically A to A. There's no B to it. That's why it's so impressive. And he inside outs with power, and it's something.
All right, Barker. Tonight, same situation as last night. 3-1 Blue Jays. How are you using your bullpen?
I'm not. Stroman's pitching until
his arm falls off?
I mean.
Then what do you do? Be a genie, Cecil?
Cecil, yeah.
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 We're on
Cecil,
the same page.
Cecil first when it matters.
Okay.
I just think it's this time of the year. Ninth inning, eighth inning, Biagini would throw it.
Yeah.
Ninth inning, it's Cecil.
I think you're right. I think Brett Cecil.
I just think ninth inning's a different animal. It just is. Guys have different at bats. You saw you saw Kim last night. The bats are just different. Okay. You know what it is? They know they have to zone up and look one pitch.
Yep.
And they can't miss it.
That was kind of a weird home run.
Oh, it's mislocation. You miss location into a guy that's got, short arms. You never get beat in late in the game. That's the old saying. Greg Zahn always says that. And Osuna missed his spot by a foot. That's what happens. You miss your spot in the show. You pay for it.
You could see Russ set up much farther
on outside. The black.
Yeah.
Away.
Good stuff for Mike Bordick and Kevin Barker. I'm Jeff Blair. The Jays play their final regular season game at the Rogers Center tonight. Like we said, could be the final game for Batista and Encarnacion. Just keep that in mind. They come up late in the game. You may want to.
Well, 163 could be there, too.
It could be. I still think it's going to be.
Me, too.
But I'm saying if it means something to you, this could be the final regular season.
I picked them to go to the World Series. I'm still sticking with it. Come on, you can do it.
For Mike Bordick and Kevin Barker, I'm Jeff Blair. Don't forget, Jays Orioles tonight. Hockey Central at noon is next. Have a great day, everybody.